Outreach Mass, bringing Christ to mid-Michigan for 40 years.
Welcome to the Outreach Mass. Oh my God, I come before you with all my restrictions and my pain. I ask you to have mercy on your servant. Be my companion in my sorrows, my hope in my anguish, and my friend in my joy. In this Outreach Mass, grant me the grace to hear your word and worship your Son at Holy Communion. Bless my neighbors. Bless those who provide the Outreach Mass. Bless the Diocese of Lansing and all who, through their prayers and support, make this televised Mass possible. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Welcome to all on the 21st Sunday in Ordinary Time. Welcome also to all who are watching and listening from your homes. Thank you for worshiping with us today. For those who are unable to receive Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament, let us pray an act of spiritual communion and ask for the graces of the Most Holy Eucharist. My Jesus, I believe that you are in the Blessed Sacrament. I love you above all things, and I long for you in my soul. Since I cannot now receive you sacramentally, come at least spiritually into my heart. As though you have already come, I embrace you and unite myself entirely to you. Never permit me to be separated from you. Amen. Our presider for this liturgy is Father Gordon, and this Mass is being offered for Lawrence Soma.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit,
amen.
The Lord be with you.
Amen.
Our readings speak of God's call, calling all to the kingdom of heaven. That call is always a call to conversion. God's ways are not our ways. And so let us accept that invitation. Let us call to mind any of our faults and failings, our worldly attachments, the sinfulness that gets in the way and often trips us up. Let us confess that and offer that to God's mercy. I confess
to Almighty God and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have been sinned in my thoughts, in my words, in what I have done, and what I have failed to do,
May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life.
Amen. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord,
And let us pray. O God, who caused the minds of the faithful to unite in a single purpose, grant your people to love what you command and to desire what you promise, that amid the uncertainties of this world, our hearts may be fixed on that place where true gladness is found. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever.
A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. Thus says the Lord, I know their works and their thoughts, and I come to gather nations of every language. They shall come and see my glory. I will set a sign among them, and from them I will send fugitives to the nations, to Tarshish, Put and Lud, Mosak, Tubal and Javan, to distant coastlands that have never heard of my fame or seen my glory. And they shall proclaim my glory among all the nations. They shall bring all your brothers and sisters from all the nations as an offering to the Lord, on horses, in chariots, in carts, upon mules and dromedaries, to Jerusalem, my holy mountain, says the Lord. Just as the Israelites bring their offerings to the house of the Lord in clean vessels. And some of these I will take as priests and Levites, says the Lord. The word of the Lord.
A reading from the letter to the Hebrews. Brothers and sisters, you have forgotten the exhortation addressed to you as children. My son, do not disdain the discipline of the Lord or lose heart when reproved by him. For whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. He scourges every son he acknowledges. Endure your trials as discipline. God treats you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? At the time, all discipline seems a cause not for joy, but for pain. Yet later, it brings the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who are trained by it. So strengthen your drooping hands and your weak knees. Make straight paths for your feet, that what is lame may not be disjointed, but healed. The word of the Lord.
Be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus passed through towns and villages, teaching as he went and making his way to Jerusalem. Someone asked him, "Lord, will only a few people be saved?" He answered them, "Strive to enter through the narrow gate. For many, I tell you, will attempt to enter, but will not be strong enough. After the master of the house has arisen and locked the door, then will you stand outside knocking and saying, 'Lord, open the door for us.' He will say to you in reply, 'I do not know where you are from.' And you will say, 'We ate and drank in your company, and you taught in our streets.' Then he will say to you, 'I do not know where you are from. Depart from me, all you evildoers.' And there will be wailing and grinding of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves cast out. And people will come from east and the west, and from the north and the south, and will recline at table in the kingdom of God. For behold, some are last who will be first, and some are first who will be last." The Gospel of the Lord. Our gospel ends with that mysterious saying, "Some who are last will be first, and some who are first will be last." In Isaiah 55, it says, "The Lord's ways are not our ways. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so high are God's ways above our ways." And truly, how topsy-turvy things are the difference between God's ways and our worldly ways. Our worldly ways are always seeking our comfort, looking out for number one, putting ourselves first, egocentric, seeking comfort, seeking power, seeking position, wealth, honor, power, and pleasure. The ways of God are quite the opposite. Look at the Beatitudes. It's all about putting God and neighbor first and putting ourselves last. Seeking the things which are spiritual, seeking the things that are eternal, not the things which are temporal and finite and we can't take with us. And even in terms of the first and the last, there is a cultural reference that is particular to his time as Jesus is preaching to his own people and yet not making many converts, not many are following him. And so he's speaking about his own chosen people who are the first, right? Salvation comes from the Jews. The Messiah has come through the lineage of the chosen people. And yet, how many of the Gentile nations became Christian first? And we still await the conversion of the chosen people. St. Paul speaks of that as one of the signs of the end times. You'll know you're close when finally the children of Israel accept their Messiah. Some who are last will be first, and some who are first will be last. The gospel also asks a very important question. It doesn't say who asked it, but it's something that's probably all on our mind. What are our chances? How many are saved? Is it a good number? Is it a bad number? And Jesus does not answer that question. And frankly, it probably wouldn't be helpful because there's so many different variables. It depends from time and place. And even if he gave us a favorable percentage, a favorable odds, shall we say, we might become complacent and think, well, hey, we got it easy. We can make this. We don't want to presume. That's never a good thing. So instead, Jesus makes it personal. Don't worry about the math. Don't worry about the odds. You worry about your salvation. You worry about the narrow gate, which strips you of your pride and your vanity and your worldly attachments and your sinful attachments. You worry about preparing to squeeze through that narrow gate because some are going to try to squeeze through and they're not going to make it because of all the baggage that they're holding on to and clinging to most dearly is going to prevent them from squeezing through the narrow gate. Jesus often says the same thing. You can find it in various gospels, and sometimes it's nice to compare because he might say a little bit more in one recorded gospel than another. And a parallel passage to this is Matthew chapter 7. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus talks about there's two roads, right? There's the road that leads to destruction. It's wide open. It's easy to travel. A lot of people travel it because it asks nothing of you. It doesn't ask conversion. It's got no rules. It's got no morals. You can do whatever you want. But it leads to death. Jesus says, there's a hidden way, there's a difficult way that leads to that narrow gate. And because it's a difficult way, a way of picking up the cross and following Jesus, that eventually it strips you of those false attachments and your vices and your worldliness. But at the end of the day, it gets you through that narrow gate. Few find it, it's not easy to travel, but that is the road that leads to life. And then a couple verses beyond that, Jesus talks about similarly to this gospel, right? When it comes to down to, you know, the end, some are going to say, Lord, Lord. And he says, not everybody just cries out, enters the kingdom. He says, some people are going to say, you know, Lord, we did all sorts of things in your name. We did mighty deeds. We prophesied in your name. And Jesus is going to say, depart from me, I don't know you. To unpack that, it helps to know that when Scripture speaks of knowing somebody, it speaks of intimacy, not like I know about you. Sure, I can Google something about you, look it up. There'll be something about you online. I can check your Facebook profile. When we talk about knowing somebody in the scriptural sense, it talks about intimacy, love, friendship. If we quote Genesis, Adam knew his wife Eve, and she conceived. It's not to know about somebody, it's an intimate knowledge. Jesus wants us to have an intimate relationship, a loving relationship, not to just know about him. He wants us to love him with our whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. And some will, again, take advantage of God's grace and God's mercy, but they're really not going to follow. Jesus wants followers. He wants disciples. Even our second reading talks about that. We're reading from the letter of Hebrews. Undertaking the discipline of the Lord. To be a disciple, you undertake the discipline of the Lord. God chastises and disciplines his children, his sons and daughters. When Jesus talks about pick up your cross and follow me, he's talking about this, accepting the trials, the tribulations, the difficulties of this road, of this way of the cross, accepting that, because that's what the Lord uses to purify us, to atone for our sins, to teach us vice, or to teach us virtue over vice, to teach us the value of sacrifice and love and commitment and responsibility. The Lord uses all of that. He doesn't waste any of it. To undertake the discipline of the Lord, it's not easy. But that narrow way, that is the road that leads to life, that gets you through the narrow gate. So Jesus gives some very practical advice. If I'm going to just sort of distill it into a couple quick lessons, let me just give you three things quick. One, don't quit. The devil wants to discourage us in every way, shape, and form. Nobody enjoys the cross. Nobody enjoys trials and tribulations. And let's face it, even in terms of the struggle of our own spirituality, we don't overcome our faults and sins easily. I don't know about you, but I feel that I end up confessing the same things over and over again. And I think that's a pretty human experience. It just means your sins and your vices are not going to be overcome easily. You got to struggle for it. Obviously, you took a couple years to develop those bad habits. It's going to take a couple of years to overcome and replace those bad habits. Don't quit just because you don't see success immediately. The devil wants quitters. The devil wants us to give up because he knows that every time we pick ourselves up and come back to Jesus, he's going to take us back. So the beauty of our journey is to try and to try again and to trust God's mercy again and again. And no matter how many times we fall, to get up, to trust God's mercy and love for us, and to go back and to follow again. Don't quit. Don't quit. Don't give up easily. Follow Jesus no matter what. This is a marathon, so to speak, not a sprint. It's going to be a long journey. This is the rest of our lives. We have to pace ourselves, and when we get discouraged, we have to help each other along. But don't quit. Don't give up easily just because it's a difficult way. Again, the road that is wide and easy and leads to destruction asks nothing of us. That is so tempting. It's so comforting. You can do whatever you want. That's a trap. And a lot of people are going to probably follow that road and invite us to do so as well. Don't buy into that. Follow the Lord no matter what it costs. That is the road that leads to life. So number one, don't quit. Number one, don't quit. I would say number two, don't take your salvation lightly. We live in a world of spiritual minimalism, right? We live in a world that treats the things of God, the things of faith, very lightly, very casually, and very disrespectfully. You go to the store and you see bobblehead Jesuses and weird things like that. As St. Paul would say, Jesus purchased you and at a price. He died for your sins. He died to save you. Don't take the blood of Jesus lightly. Our world treats salvation like it's no big thing, treats our sins very lightly, like they're no big thing. Sins are a big thing. Sins are leading us away from God. Sins are threatening our destruction. Don't take that lightly. Don't take your salvation lightly. Repent seriously, confess your sins, and start again. But don't take it lightly. Our salvation comes at a great cross. It comes at a great price. That's it. And so we need to take that seriously for our sake and for the sake of those around us. Help our world to take these things seriously. Look at all of Jesus' parables, like today's gospel. So often in Jesus' parables, over and over and over again, somebody gets locked out of the kingdom. And it's the person who doesn't take the opportunity seriously. They show up when they feel. They show up too late. They don't show up dressed for the reception. They just assume, yeah, of course they're going to let me in once I knock. Often, again, Jesus' parables end with somebody getting locked out, and then that voice that comes from behind the door, "Depart from me, I do not know you. You didn't follow me. You didn't spend time with me. I don't know you. Depart." Those are always meant to be a warning. Don't take your salvation lightly. It's a great gift. Friendship with God is a great gift. The graces, the mercy, the forgiveness that is offered us is a great gift. Take it seriously. Help others to take it seriously in a world that, again, in our topsy-turvy world, that takes the things of the world and treats them with great solemnity. I mean, think of the effort we put into things like the Super Bowl. You would think this is the highest holy day of America, right? The effort that goes into it, that's a $1 billion event. And yet, the things that really matter eternally are often dismissed as trivial and of no account. Our world doesn't see the value. Take your salvation seriously. Thirdly, don't go it alone. It's a journey. It's a journey that's meant to be shared. God does not expect us to become holy by ourselves. In fact, it's frankly impossible. When we talk about holiness, holiness is a unique attribute of God. You really can't become holy without letting God rub off on you. You know, and there's something about that in our relationships. When you draw close to somebody, a friend, a family member, you start to take on certain characteristics of them. You've probably noticed from your family that don't you have like weird, quirky family sayings that only your family says it that way? I've picked up all sorts of things like that from my mom and dad. And people look at me like, what does that mean? My own associates look at me like, what does that mean? And I have to explain it. And sometimes I don't know what that means. I don't know. It's just what we say. It's a family saying. And I have to go back and ask. But we start to talk like each other. We start to dress like each other. We start to look like each other. It's family resemblance. We start to pick up quirky sayings of our friends and their habits, for better or for worse. Same thing. If you want to become holy, you just have to spend time with the Holy One. You have to spend time with God, prayer, worship, reading the Scriptures, getting to know God. That familiarity will start to bear a certain resemblance. As we imitate Christ, as we try to imitate Christ, eventually we're going to start to look like Jesus. Maybe not physically, I'm not talking physical resemblance, but in our attitude, in our humility, in our virtue, in our obedience, in our caring about the things of God first and foremost. This is a journey that's meant to be shared. We can't do it without God's help, certainly, so keep holy the Sabbath. Your worship, your sacramental practices. You're going to need God's help. You're going to need God's grace. You're going to need God's forgiveness and mercy. And we're going to need each other's support because it's kind of tough to live to the standard of Jesus Christ. When Jesus says, "Be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect," I think we all think interiorly, "Oh no," right? I'm not there yet. Even that first commandment, love the Lord your God with your whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. I'm not there yet. But if we encourage each other, if we pray for each other, if we lift each other up when we fall, if we share each other's burdens, the journey gets easier. That's why Jesus founded a church. This isn't an individual competition. We need to help one another along the journey. So just to distill three simple things, if it helps, always persevere. Don't quit, don't give up easily. Satan wants to discourage us by our own faults, by our failures, by the trials, by the tribulations, by the persecutions, by the mockery, by all the things that the world is going to throw at us in contempt of the way of life that we live. Don't treat our salvation lightly. It's a tremendous gift. Our friendship with Jesus is a tremendous gift. Don't take our sins lightly. It matters. Jesus' precious blood was shed for us. Let's treat that with all seriousness and take that seriously. And then again, lastly, let's enjoy the journey together, just as we are right now, even with our Outreach Mass community. This is going through a third of Michigan right now, and via the internet, who knows further. We're praying for each other, we're worshiping together, we're coming together to make the body of Christ visible. And we need to see that. We need that encouragement, because the way is difficult. It is a narrow way. It is a difficult way. But the journey is better for the companions that help you in that journey. May the Lord lead us to the kingdom. May we become experts in the ways of salvation, for our own sake, but for the sake of all those around us. Amen. Let us stand and profess this faith together. We pray, I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God and God, light and light, true God from true God, begotten. Consubstantial with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us men and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary and became man. For our salvation, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried and rose again on the third day in accordance with the Scripture. He ascended into heaven. And is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from and through the Son, who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, who has spoken to Christ. I believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. I confess one baptism. And I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. With hope and trust in our hearts, let us turn now to our loving Father with all our needs.
For God's holy church, may the Holy Spirit fortify each of us in our mission to proclaim the gospel message of salvation in Christ. Let us pray to the Lord. For all nations, may God, who offers salvation to all through his Son, lead all hearts to seek his truth and mercy. Let us pray to the Lord. For those traveling the long road of grief, may they know Christ's presence and rest in the confidence that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Let us pray to the Lord. For all of us gathered here this day, may we receive the grace to respond to the invitation from Christ to come and follow him. Let us pray to the Lord. For our brothers and sisters who are ill or infirm, may Jesus be a source of hope healing, and light, especially Nancy Passanante, Thomas Birch, Elizabeth Tikvan, our television, radio, and online community, and those listed in our book of prayer. Let us pray to the Lord. For the faithful departed, may they receive the fullness of God's mercy in his kingdom, especially Joanna Aquilina, Ursula Rodiger, Orlando Barcoso, Dr. Peter Luea, Jose Guzman, Jeffrey Wendt, and all the holy souls in purgatory. Let us pray to the Lord.
Gracious God, please hear and answer the prayers we have brought to you this day. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Pray, brothers and sisters, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father. O Lord, who gained for yourself a people by adoption, through the one sacrifice offered once for all, bestow graciously on us, we pray, the gifts of unity and peace in your church through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And
lift up your hearts.
Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is
truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere to give you thanks, Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Eternal God, through Christ our Lord. For by his birth he brought renewal to humanity's fallen state, and by his suffering canceled out our sins. By his rising from the dead, he has opened the way to eternal life, and by ascending to you, O Father, he has unlocked the gates of heaven. And so with the company of angels and saints, we sing the hymn of your praise as without end we acclaim. Indeed, holy, O Lord, the fount of all holiness. Make holy, therefore, these gifts, we pray, by sending down your Spirit upon them like the dewfall, so that they may become for us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. At the time he was betrayed and entered willingly into his passion, he took bread and, giving thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat of it, for this is my body, which will be given up for you." In a similar way, when supper was ended, he took the chalice, and once more giving thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it. This is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me." A mystery of faith.
We proclaim your death, O Lord, and profess your resurrection until you come again.
Therefore, as we celebrate the memorial of his death and resurrection, we offer you, Lord, the bread of life and the chalice of salvation, giving thanks that you have held us worthy to be in your presence and minister to you. Humbly we pray that, partaking of the body and blood of Christ, we may be gathered into one by the Holy Spirit. Remember, Lord, your church spread throughout the world, and bring her to the fullness of charity together with Leo, our Pope, and Earl, our Bishop, and all of the clergy. Remember also our brothers and sisters who have fallen asleep in the hope of the resurrection, and all who have died in your mercy. Welcome them into the light of your face. Have mercy on us all, we pray, that with the Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, with Blessed Joseph, her spouse, with your blessed apostles and all of the saints who have pleased you throughout the ages, we may merit to be co-heirs to eternal life, and may praise and glorify you through your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him and with him and in him, O God, almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours forever and ever.
Amen.
At the Savior's command, informed by divine teaching, we dare to say,
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but
deliver us, Lord, we pray, from every evil. Graciously grant peace in our days, that by the help of your mercy, we may be always free from sin and safe from all distress as we await the blessed hope and the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ. For the kingdom, Lord Jesus Christ, who said to your apostles, peace I leave you, my peace I give you, look not on our sins, but on the faith of your church, and graciously grant her peace and unity in accordance with your will, who live and reign forever and ever.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And with your spirit.
Let us offer each other the sign of peace. Behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb.
Lord,
thank you. Let us stand and pray. Complete within us, O Lord, we pray, the healing work of your mercy, and graciously perfect and sustain us, so that in all things we may please you through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And
may Almighty God bless you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Go announce the gospel of the Lord.
And let us go forth singing number 769, Go Make of All Disciples, number 769.
Thank you for joining us today for the Outreach Mass. I'm Father Gordon Riegel. Whether or not you are comfortable sharing the faith with others, when you support the Outreach Mass as a disciple, you are sharing the good news with thousands of viewers across Michigan. Please help us to keep the Outreach Mass on the air. You may send donations to Outreach Mass, 955 Alton Road, East Lansing, Michigan, 48823. Thank you for being part of our worshiping community and for sharing the faith. May God bless and keep you.